Please do have a seat. And Amy, our curate, is going to come and open up some themes for Remembrance Sunday for us.
Well, good morning. Yes, I'm Amy. I'm the curate here at St. John's. So, as we know, it's Remembrance Sunday today. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask some of the young people why we're here, what we're doing, what's this all about? Okay, so come on, you'll have done this in school. I'm sure you talked about it in Guides, Scouts and Brownies. Who's willing to share with me why we're here today? I shall pick on someone. Why are we here today? Do you want to tell me?
We're here to remember the soldiers who fought for us.
Okay, we're here to remember soldiers that have fought for us. Anything else we want to add to that? Have you thought about this? Let's go over this side. Why are we here this morning? Why are you here this morning? What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be showing the poppy, what's this called? Reef.
Okay, so you've brought a poppy reef from the Scouts. Fantastic. So you're doing that. Okay. What else? What's it about? Okay, what's Remembrance Sunday about? We've heard about remembering people that fought in the war. Okay, let's come back a bit further. Did anybody else want to add anything? Do you want to say anything? No? No, he's gone shy now. Okay. Can I just say that's my son? So thanks, Sebastian. So we were remembering, and any specific wars can you think of? The history? Yeah.
World War II. World War I and World War II.
Okay, so we're specifically remembering those who died in the two world wars. Okay, and since then, we've probably added in a few others as well, haven't we? I think we'd like to remember all of the subsequent wars as well and people that have died then. Okay, so why do we do that? Why do we want to remember people that have died in wars, do you think? Challenging you now. Go on then. You three look intelligent and sensible. Why do you think we need to remember?
Because they fought for our country and they did us proud.
Okay, they fought for our country and did us proud. Anything else? No. It was a huge sacrifice that they made, wasn't it? When they died fighting in those wars. Basically everybody here has been touched by those wars in some way or another. Your grandparents or great-parents may or may not have fought in the war, but they will have experienced, they will have been touched by all that happened in those world wars. And we are still impacted by subsequent conflicts and wars that are going on. But the point of remembering, is it perhaps we remember war so we can remember how awful it is? I'm guessing we'll all agree that it's not a good thing, right? Generally, yes. Okay, so because what are some of the consequences of war then? What do you think? What are the consequences? What happens during war to families, do you think? How are families impacted? Can you think about that? Do you want to share anything? Have you got any ideas? No, it's a bit tricky this morning. Okay, that's fair enough. But it's because it's obviously you've got the families who lose loved ones who were fighting in the wars, but you've also got disruption. Houses were bombed in the wars in the Second World War, weren't they? People lost their homes a lot in this Southampton and this area. Children had to move. There's lots of negative consequences to war. Businesses are destroyed, livelihoods, people lose their homes and become refugees, as well as the soldiers who fought under horrendous conditions often. So there's a lot of bad things. So we don't want more war, do we? We really, really would like not to be in that situation again. So one of the main reasons why we remember on Remembrance Day all that happened in the world wars and subsequent wars is because we don't want it to happen again. So we're remembering war so that we can work for peace. That's really important. So Jesus wrote, you can read it in the Bible, said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be the children of God. So as children of God, we're all called to be peacemakers. Now that can be quite a big sort of challenge, can't it? Peacemakers. Because when you look at the news, you see in the news, there's a lot of stuff happening in the world which is pretty awful. And it's quite overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? When you read the papers, look in the news, and you see everything that's happening in the world. You think, what difference can I make? I'm just an ordinary person living in Loxheath or wherever you come from. You know, what impact can I have? Oh, I'm just a kid. You know, who's going to listen to me? Well, this is where we need to remember that we can make an impact. Because peace begins, firstly, in the heart. It begins with us. It begins with a commitment to peace, a commitment to forgiveness and reconciliation and all those sorts of things. It also begins in the home, in our families, a commitment to peace in our homes. God, they could be some of the most difficult places to be peaceful, can't they, homes? Because unfortunately, the people we love the most can get the worst side of us, can't they, sometimes? Peace in our homes, with our friends, at school, in the playground, in our clubs that we go to, colleges, in the workplace. That can be difficult too, can't it? And in our churches, because we're not... we still have a conflict, don't we, within our groups in churches. But we need to have a commitment as Christians and as children of God, a commitment to peacemaking. So can I suggest today, I know the young people are going to going off in a little while to their groups, and they're going to look at more in more depth at Remembrance Sunday, and they've got some activities to do, and I think you're going to have a really good time. And we're going to continue in our service here as well with Gavin. But can we, alongside honouring and remembering the sacrifice of those who died in wars, let's remember that the reason that we're doing that, because we don't want other people going through that situation again. We're remembering war and committing to making peace. So let's just pray for a moment. Father God, we ask that you this morning equip us to be peacemakers. Help us to have the patience, the understanding, all that we need to bear with one another in difficult situations and to seek peace and justice and working for a better world, so that we can transform our homes, our families, our friends, our communities, and the world. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to have our first reading, which is from the Old Testament prophet Amos, and Dick is going to come and read that for us.
The reading is from Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 24. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 25 and the first 13 verses. And this is Jesus telling a parable. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for us and for you. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open this passage to us, and that we will find wisdom and understanding in it, and that we will encounter you and be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. History is littered, isn't it, with examples of people, of nations not being ready. I was flicking through the channels the other night and came across a documentary all about the attack on Pearl Harbor and how the Americans just were not at all ready for it. Perhaps in slightly different circumstances, they might have seen that it was coming and they might have got themselves ready, and the whole of that event in history would have been completely different, because they would have been ready when that surprise attack came. There's also been quite a lot of discussion, hasn't there, over the decades about the appeasement policy that Britain took towards Hitler just before the Second World War, and how Callaghan famously came back waving the piece of paper saying that he... Not Callaghan?
No.
Who was it?
Chamberlain.
I knew it began with a C. Look, I wasn't around then.
You didn't do history either.
So lots of discussion about, was that the right thing to do? Was appeasement the right way to tackle Hitler? And surely it would have been better to confront him earlier. But the reality was that Britain simply wasn't ready to challenge the power of Germany. That in fact it needed that time to prepare its military, to prepare its strength in order to take on such a powerful nation. It just wasn't ready. And this is a story from Jesus that is all about being ready. Are we ready? And the context of it can be quite confusing for us. It's a story from a different culture, 2,000 years ago, one which we don't relate to all that easily. It does look as if the story is from a wedding. And of course, a wedding in those days would have been over many, many days. It would have been a huge celebration, and not just for the families of the two people involved. It would have been a celebration for the whole community. So it was a really big deal. And so we have a little snapshot of just one little story from within one of those big wedding celebrations of the bridesmaids, 10 of them, waiting for the groom to come. As far as we can work out, it looks like it was traditional for the groom and the bride possibly to move around various different venues in the community. And it looks as if the bridesmaids and maybe the bride are also waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, for this bit of the party to begin. And they know that he's coming, he's definitely coming, but they don't know when. And they need to be ready for when he arrives, because as soon as he arrives, the party's going to begin. It's a bit like when the Queen travels around. She never waits for anything, does it? But as soon as she arrives, it begins. So these bridesmaids are expected to be ready at any moment for the party to begin. And so the message quite clearly from this story is, are we ready? Are we ready for what? Are we ready for Jesus? Are we ready for Jesus to come and for the party to begin? And that's a really good challenge, because when we're waiting for Jesus, when we encounter Jesus, the interesting thing, and perhaps the slightly irritating thing, is he quite often isn't what we expected. Jesus has a habit of not being quite what we expected of him. Certainly in this context, in this culture, he was speaking to the Jews, the people of God from the Old Testament, and they were waiting for a Messiah to come. They knew from the Old Testament readings and from their prophets that a Messiah was definitely coming. But when they found Jesus, when they met him, when they encountered him face to face, he wasn't at all what they were expecting. In fact, he was so much not what they were expecting that they failed to recognize him at all. You see, for them, it was all about their land. It was all about God establishing them in their own land, and that being the place of blessing and of peace that they were promised in the Old Testament. That's the story in the Old Testament, that God is going to bring them into this land. And yet we also know from the Old Testament that through disobedience, they lost that land. They were driven out into exile. And whilst they came back in drips and drabs, it was never the promised place of peace and rest that they were hoping for. And certainly by the time Jesus comes along, they're living under occupation. The Romans are very clearly in charge, and they have to do what they are told. And so not unreasonably, the Jews think, well, when this Messiah comes, he's going to sort this out. He's going to change this political situation on the ground, and we will be back in charge of our land, the thing that we have been longing for. The problem was that that wasn't Jesus' agenda. That was their agenda. In fact, what Jesus was about was something much bigger, much more profound, much deeper. He wanted to address the fallenness in all of us, the rebellion, which takes us away from God and which had been there right from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to address that with forgiveness and with love and with the power of the Spirit to live differently. And so they missed him completely. And I wonder whether sometimes we're at risk of missing Jesus completely, because we know what we would like him to be like. We know that we would like him to be a wise moral teacher. We know that we would like him to say good things that encourage us to be nice to each other. But actually, when we encounter some of his more difficult challenges, when we really start to take on board that what is on offer is that he gives us forgiveness and acceptance and the love of God, and in response he transforms our lives completely. It is a grace that is completely free and yet at the same time costs everything, because having encountered this Jesus, nothing is ever the same again. So I wonder whether we're ready for that sort of a Jesus. The unexpected Jesus, the one who we can't just keep safely on a Sunday, but who demands that we live differently every day of the week. I wonder whether we're ready for that Jesus. I wonder whether we're ready also for the Jesus who likes to interrupt us. He likes to interrupt us. Did you notice that the bridesmaids had become drowsy and were sleeping? And I have to say, I identify with that a great deal. I do enjoy a good kip. And Jesus turns up suddenly and interrupts them. My children have a favorite joke. Can I try it out on you? It's a knock-knock joke. Is this right? Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Moo.
It's quite, I quite like that one. Interrupting cow. It's got nothing to do with the sermon, it's just gag. The interruptions. I don't know if you... Are you the sort of person who's good with interruptions or not? I'm not very good with interruptions at all. I like to know what I'm doing. I like to have a plan. It drives my wife mad on holidays that I get up in the morning and say, so what are we doing today? And she says, well, we're on holiday. I said, yes, so what are we doing? We need to have an idea of where I'm going today. And if things interrupt that, I'm not very good at going with it. I'm not very good at sort of going with the interruption and just seeing where it leads. But actually, the challenge from Jesus very often is that we should be open to being interrupted by him. You see, if this story was about Jesus coming to the Jewish nation, well, actually, it's an ongoing story about Jesus turning up unexpectedly in our lives. After he ascended to heaven, he sends his Holy Spirit on his church. And now Jesus will simply turn up as and when he wants. And it takes a real discipline to get used to that and to go with what he might be calling us to. When we think we know we need to get to Waitrose to buy various things, and then we see somebody and we just have that sense that God wants us to talk to them, that we just have that little nudge. Are we very good at going with that and seeing what Jesus is doing? Are we ready to respond to Jesus when he turns up unexpectedly It happens with those small things, with the little conversations down the shops, but it also happens with the big things, you know, when you think you've got your life sorted out, when you're quite enjoying this phase of life, when you think it's all very comfortable and settled, and you're quite pleased with it. And Jesus sometimes just turns up and says, actually, I've got something else in mind. Are you going to go with that? Are you going to be ready for me to come and interrupt? You see, the emphasis in this story is that the bridegroom comes unexpectedly and interrupts what we are doing, and we're invited to join in with it. So are we ready for the unexpected? Are we ready for the interruption? Because if we are ready for those things, well, then what we're being invited into is a party. Did you notice that? It's easy to get a bit heavy about this and to say, oh, well, you know, actually, we've got to go and respond to Jesus because he's in charge, and we've got to be ready for him to interrupt because he's the boss. But actually what he's saying is, if you respond to me, if when I turn up unexpectedly, when I interrupt you and you respond, we're going to go and have a party. That's what's on offer. Come with me, and we'll go inside, and we'll join the party, the wedding party, and we'll have a feast. That's what's on offer when we are genuinely open to Jesus, when we are genuinely ready for him at any given moment. What we're talking about here is about a life which is fully aligned with God, and God is good, and therefore a life which is fully aligned with God is a life which is really good. That's what's on offer. If we can learn to respond to Jesus and to his Spirit, we can learn to live really well, really well. I've been really touched by some of the imagery C.S. Lewis liked to use, particularly about joining the dance, that actually God is sort of overseeing this enormous, great, whirling community dance and all the diversity in it and the difference in it. It's going on all the time, and he's just beckoning us in, saying, come join the dance, come join the party, come join the fun. If only we are ready for him, if only we're ready to respond to him, that is what is on offer to us. So are you ready to join the party? Are you ready to respond to Jesus when you least expect him? Let's finish by praying and asking him to keep us open to the promptings of his Spirit. Father God, thank you for this story from Matthew and for the reminder that you are constantly at work, doing unexpected things, interrupting our plans and inviting us to join the party. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to have hearts that are responsive, that are sensitive to your promptings, that we will be looking for you to be involved every day of our lives. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will lead us into good things. In Jesus' name, amen.